This is from Romans. Romans was Paul's magnum opus. He wrote it to the church in Rome, which, if you remember at this time, Rome was the center of the known universe. So when the gospel message reached Rome, and it reached Rome before Paul did, that meant that it was at the center of everything. So when Paul wrote to them, he wrote his whole theology. This is truly everything that Paul believes. Listen to these words from the fifth chapter. Therefore, since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in our hope of sharing the glory of God. More than that, we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character. And character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit, which has been given to us. You know, I used to try to hide my sermon faux pas, but recently, having lost a couple of sermons somewhere in the building and having been rescued and then just getting lost in another sermon, I don't feel the need to do that anymore. So I'm going to offer you two sermons this morning. One is the sermon that I finished Wednesday and forgot to take home and couldn't remember for sure whether I had finished it or not and didn't want to make the trip back in the flood. And so this morning at about 5 o'clock, I wrote this sermon. So we have this sermon, and we have this sermon. It's a shame to waste either one of them, so I may just put them together and preach both of them. This shouldn't take longer than 30 minutes. You're okay with that, right? Do you want the short one or the long one? Oh, no, you don't even mean that. Donna, I love you. Oh, boy. Advent is that time of waiting. Literally, it means the waiting and anticipation.
So which one is this?
This... Man, you just get off your boat and start causing trouble, don't you? No, I can't tell you how glad I am to have Barbara back. No. This is the one I wrote the first of the week. We'll go with it until I get lost, and then I'll pull this one in. No respect. I get no respect. It's not just a retelling of the old story. That's not what Advent is for, is it? Not just the old story of a babe born in Bethlehem so many years ago. Advent should be about the anticipation of that story played out anew in each human heart during this season, and that carried forth into the rest of our lives. That's what it should be about. And we frame that story each year with four themes: peace, hope, joy, and love. Last week we spoke of peace in a way that it's not just the absence of violence. Peace is a way of mind, a way of looking at the world. So, peace, hope, joy, and love. First of all, why that order? Is it biblical? Well, yes and no. For you see, the themes are not in a straight line, are they? They are circular. One involves the other, which involves the other, which involves the other, which leads us back to the first. Today's theme is hope. Let's take a look at several questions. And it'll be, first of all, before those questions, what is the difference between, you know that old song, wishing and hoping? What's the difference between wishing and hoping? Again, not a rhetorical question. What is, for you, what's the difference between when you say, oh, I wish and I hope? What is the difference in those two? Yeah, I wish I could win the lottery. Oh, I'd give a big chunk of it here. I wish that. I really wish I could. That's not part of my hope, though. Is it? That's the difference. Wishing does not need to be based in any sort of reality at all. Here are the questions that I want us to talk about. Where does our hope come from? What do we hope for? Is hope alive and well in our world today? And finally, what is our job as Christians with regard to hope? What relationship do we have to that hope that we profess as Christians? First question, where does our hope come from? The psalmist put it this way, in God's word I hope. In God's word I hope. Okay, pop quiz time. Do you remember the Hebrew word, Sarah, not a sound out of you. Some of y'all are going, what? Why is he picking on Sarah all the time? The rest of you can answer them that question. What is the word, the Hebrew word, that means God's word? Oh, Sarah doesn't know it. Jesus, yeah. You learned well from the 9-year-old. Yeah. That's right, but it's not correct. You'll remember this, and you kind of have to clear your throat to get this word. It's ruach is spirit, but that's not it either. It's dabar. Dabach. And it doesn't mean the word as the word on the page. It means the word as the power of God. It was understood that God's power came forth in God's word. We could say literally that God spoke the creation into being. The word of God is not about a book. The word of God is about God acting. God spoke and creation happened. In that beautiful writing by John, that prelude that we sometimes begin our worship service with, and the word was dabar in the Hebrew, and the word became. So that is where does hope come from? God's word becoming flesh. The source of our hope is the creative act of a loving God. Secondly, what do we hope for? What do we hope for? What do some of your hopes involve? Our hopes have generally involved our kids and our grandkids and now our great-grandkids, that they will live good, meaningful, full lives. We have hopes, you know, we all have hopes for this congregation that we will thrive and we will be a message to our community in ever new ways. But what do we hope for? Do we hope for things? No. Or asked differently, do things fulfill our deepest hopes? Nope. And that's what we're bombarded with, even more so in this season, isn't it? If we will just get this car, or this new refrigerator, or these floor mats for our Land Rover. That one is beyond me. Have you seen that commercial where the guy comes down on Christmas morning and there's a whole bunch of rubber mats in front of the tree, and he has that almost religious, ecstatic look on his face? No, that's not hope. That's not hope. If we're really honest, our hope is to live a meaningful life when we're hoping about ourselves. Isn't that true? We hope that our lives have meaning. Our time of truest joy are those times when our lives evidence, manifest meaning and purpose. You know that's right, don't you? When our hopes become real in our actions, that is when we feel most alive and closest to God. We are made, I believe that we are made to be in relationship. We are not made as solitary creatures. We are made to be in relationship with each other and with our Creator, who is the source of love. And we are most hopeful when we are helping others achieve their own hopes. I see that all the time here. I see it on Tuesday morning and Wednesday morning and on Mondays. And when y'all are helping other people with things, that is when you feel the most fulfilled, the most hopeful. Third question. Is hope alive and well in our world today? And you know, this isn't a national or a political question. Do you feel just hopeful in the world? Is it? Or put another way, what are the barriers to hope in our world today? You know, I think one of the barriers I've already mentioned is that the relentless advertising that tells us we need new stuff, lots of stuff, the shiniest stuff to realize our hopes. And I know this sounds funny coming from me, because I'm the guy that had to rent a warehouse to store his extra toys in so he could get some more toys. I'm going to sell them all, honey, I promise. But things do not provide hope. And our increasing, and there's no other word for it, lust for those things as a culture is not bringing us closer to realizing our potential as human beings. And also, I believe that the increasing divisions within our world that separate us. When I do not see my sister's and my brother's hopes being connected to mine, my hope is diminished. And that's a truism. You know it is. But yes, I agree with you. I do believe that hope is alive and well. There are so many sources that cause us to be hopeful for tomorrow. So, what is our job as Christians when it comes to hope in the world? Well, our first job, obviously, is to hear and learn the story. Hear and learn the story. For God. And that's it. That's all of it. We can say it in 100 different ways, but that is the story. For God so loved the world. And then we need to make that story our story. And then we need to tell that story both in word and deed. And in doing so, we will accept every person we come in contact with as worthy of hearing that story. And then, repeat as needed. Sometimes it does seem like that there are so many more questions than answers in our world today. I think part of that started when we wound up with the 24/7 news cycle. Are you ever guilty of that? You just go from, you know, you may flip from Fox to NBC to CNN to ABC to local, and all of a sudden you're overloaded with that. We look at what's trending instead of truly looking for meaning. And that's what this season is for. That's what Advent is for. Let this Advent, the time of waiting, be such a time for you. I know what a busy time it is. Our schedules are full. We've got presents to buy, parties to attend, decorations to be hung. The Christmas spider. Wow. That's impressive. Spend time letting God's peace enter your life. Let the old, old story of Bethlehem speak to you in perhaps a new way. Make room in your individual hearts for the Christ child. Because, as Paul said to the Romans, hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts. Amen.